Well, this evening, I want to, by the directives of the Lord, continue on one particular aspect of what we were talking about this morning. That is the aspect of continuation. It was one of the key things that we talked about, and we will continue to talk about it. But it's a very important aspect to our walk in the Lord, the power of continuity. If we do not continue, we cannot experience all that God has for us. And I'm going to take it from a passage of Scripture that points us very steadfastly towards this end. And it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. The word of God says here, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know," and that is key, "for as much as ye know," for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that is so crucial, because if you do not know that your labor is not going to be in vain, then there's no reason to continue. And for you to know that your labor is not going to be in vain, you must have faith in God. You must have faith in God. Hebrews 11 tells us this. It says to us in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," meaning God. "For he that cometh to God," those who come to God, "must believe," one, "that God is," two, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Who is the rewarder? God is. But if God is, then you must first of all believe that God is. So when we do not continue, what we are saying is God is not, and God is not faithful. God does not reward. Our actions declare what our belief system is. Continuity, faithfulness, fervency of faith is founded in the very fact that you believe that God is. There is a God. No matter what I'm going through right now, no matter how delayed it seems right now, no matter how long it's taken to get there right now, quitting is not an option. There is a God. Amen? There is a God. Therefore, I will continue. I will be steadfast. I will be faithful. Now, the reality is this, that if I know that I am blessed of God and I'm loved by God, I must also believe that whatever God said is the truth. And one of the things God has declared over us is that whatever we lay our hands to do will be blessed. Amen? So, why do people quit? They quit because they're not getting a particular result that they have on their mind. So I quit. But it is not the result on the other side that is the issue. It is the issue is, do I believe that God's hand is on me? Which means that if God's hand is on me, even the impossible situation can become a situation that blessing can come out of. If God's hand is on me, water can come out of the rock. Are you with me? If God's hand is on me, I may be in a wilderness and the crowd will come to me, John the Baptist. So it's not location, 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 but hand of God, hand of God, hand of God. Amen? So it doesn't matter what the situation is. If God is faithful and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, diligently, diligently, diligently seek Him, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord because you believe that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, then you continue. There's a reason why God put me here. So I continue. One of the mighty men of David was left in a barley field by himself. Everybody else was gone, and here comes the Philistines, and they want to take that barley ground. And the guy says, no way are you guys doing that. My master told me that I should stay here and guard this place. And when he comes back, he's going to find this place secure. They came after him, and he killed every single one of them. I don't remember how many of them now, but he wiped them all out. Until the Bible tells us that the sword clave to his hand. They had to pry it out. It was so, he had become one with the sword. He now was the weapon. That is steadfast, unmovable. I was given an assignment, and the assignment will be completed. And no devil in hell is going to move me out of my assignment. When you sink your teeth on the promise of God, you don't let go. You don't let go because of circumstances. And you know, the reality is, if you are always having plan B, you've already lost because you don't have 100% of your belief in plan A. You've got to be totally sold out to the reality that you are a child of God, chosen by God, assigned by God, and that you will complete what God has called you to, and you continue, 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 continue in the rain, in the shine, in the snow, in the cold, no matter what the circumstance is, I am here. I will fulfill my assignment. This is what I was assigned to do. I'm fulfilling it. That's it, period. That is the scariest, I believe, most worrisome mindset that the devil is scared of. A person that has totally sold out himself and said, this is what I believe. I know God. I believe God. and I'm going to stick with this program. The devil is scared of that kind of a person because there's nothing you are going to do to stop him. Take a hold of a man like St. Paul. You're going to scare him with what? You're going to tell him, I'm going to throw you in prison? He will tell you which one to send him to. Send me to that one. I was preaching to some guy over there. I didn't finish yet. Can you please send me there? Send me to that one. No, we'll send you to another one. Okay, all right. I will start another one over there. That is the highest level of being a troublemaker. When you are steadfast, unmovable, you're committed. We need men and women that are totally sold out today. And that is not something that's possible in our own natural ability. That is only possible because we are connected with God, who is steadfast, who is unmovable, who has something he wants to do, and he goes and does it. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint. Set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Did he know what was going to meet him in Jerusalem? Absolutely. But that's where he's going. Was he scared? Yes. When he was in the garden, he said, Father, can we try another way on this one? He said, but not my will, your will. He saw the pain. Moses and Elijah came and told him, man, this is what you're going to be going through. But he was steadfast. He wants that to be true for every one of us too. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding. Always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, be totally sold out to the work of God. Why? For as much as you know, as much as you know, as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To the extent that you know that your labor is not in vain, to that extent, you will be committed. If you think your labor is in vain or is going to be in vain, you will not be committed. Why do I want to waste my time? You've already made the judgment. My labor is going to be in vain in the Lord. But the word of God says, know this, your labor is not going to be vain in the Lord. It's never a waste of time in the Lord. People are never a waste of time in the Lord. Souls are never a waste of time in the Lord. God rewards you and I for doing what he's called us to do. He says, go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Go give. Go pray. Go fast. Go be a witness. It's not in vain. The devil may tell you, you're wasting your time, but it is not in vain. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, after this is what I like about the Word of God. It begins to tell us about the experiences of different men of faith. Start out in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He condemned the world. In other words, he turned back the world and he stayed in faith. and he did what he was supposed to do. Because if he did not condemn the world and he kept on looking at the world, he will not do what he was supposed to do. It takes him 120 years, something like that, to build the ark. But in the natural, there was no reason. He's building an ark, and there's no reason for it. But God told him to build it. Now, if he spent his time looking at his natural settings, he said, this doesn't make any sense. Why should I do anything like this? At the fullness of time, the rain will come, and he will die with the rest of them. That's exactly what will happen. He did that not just for 1 year, not just for 10 years, not just for 20 or 50, not just for 90. Can you imagine doing that for, I believe the exact number is 120 years. Somebody can correct me on that. 120 years building an ark and then filling it up with animals. Why is he consistent? He believed that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's why. That's why you become foolish to the world. Moses, what are you doing? Come on, give me a break. Nothing's going to happen. But you stick to the program. This is the assignment. God gave me this assignment. I'm going to diligently fulfill my calling on this assignment because God will reward you for the assignment he gave to you. You're not getting rewarded for an assignment he didn't give to you. You're getting rewarded for the assignment he gave to you. For that assignment is your labor in the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. You know where he was going? But he believed God. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is what? God. God is the builder and the maker of this city that he's seeking. But he's dwelling in tents. But he's seeking that. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. She judged him faithful. Who had promised. God is faithful. You made a promise. You will do it. I receive the ability to produce the fruit. Amen? When things are tight and difficult, we ask God for grace to fulfill the assignment. So he did. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died like this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. I can see it. But brother, you didn't get what you were talking about. That's not a point. I can see it. Because some of the promises that you and I have may not be received by us. It may be received by the next generation. But if you don't build the ark, there will be no generation to receive it. If you don't stay faithful, the next generation will not hear it. But the fact is this, that when you are faithfully serving God and believe God, and you believe that He's a rewarder, God gives you a lot of help to continue. There's always something that encourages your heart. Say, thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. For Noah, it was seeing those animals coming in twos. There's no rain. There's nothing. No water. Why do we need this? But when he finally got in, the Bible says God shut him in. And then it started to pour. It started to rain. It rained and it rained. And after a while, there was a shaking. And then there was a floating. But everybody else that weren't inside that place all drowned. Can you see them climbing up to their house, their rooftop, and thinking, I'll be okay here? And when that didn't work, they're climbing up some tree and the water is still coming. And now the tree is floating. It's uprooted and some are hanging onto the tree. Maybe it will stop. No, the water is going to hang around for so long until everything that is living dies. And the ark that he built continued on. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that the continuation of faith, continuity doesn't sometimes make any sense. Continuing sometimes doesn't make any sense whatsoever. God, why can't you bless me where I am right here? No, I want you to go over there. Why do I have to go over there? So you got to go because that's where the blessing is. I'm going to meet you over there. I don't understand why. You don't need to understand why. You just got to believe that God is. God is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And sometimes seeking him is stepping beyond your comfort zone. They all died. Verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why is he doing that? Accounting that God was able to raise him up. That's why. That's why you're steadfast. That's why you continue. He was accounting that God will raise him up, even from the dead. Has he ever seen that happen before? No. But if God said, through this son, this family is going to be blessed, then he's got to make sure that he comes back alive. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. He's got to come back alive. And I trust God that he will bring him back to life. Have you ever seen God bring anybody back to life? No, but God is. God is. So you mean you've never seen this happen before, but you're going to do this? Yes, because God is. I believe God. That's it. I believe God. I believe God. Not my circumstance, not what I know or don't know. I believe God. Amen. That he is. Amen. That's why I'm going to do this. I believe God. From whence also he received him in a figure. Hallelujah. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Joseph believed that they were going back. They were not going to stay in Egypt. Since when you leave here, take my bones with you. By faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. He is, well, Pharaoh's daughter has raised me, but I'm not. Can you imagine living in Pharaoh's house? And this is the woman claiming to be your mother? And you say, no, you're not my mother. And you're in the house of the Pharaoh that is ready to kill you. Huh? Now, you are older now. Now is the time for you to be really dead. Now it is the time for you to be really killed. It's not when you are a baby. You right in the place and you open your mouth, your big fat mouth, and you're saying, you're not my mama. Huh? Who is not your mama? Okay. Let's see how much this mouth of yours is going to carry you. How far it's going to carry you. No, he refused. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose. Steadfastness causes you to choose. To continue. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Esteeming the what? Oh, something's missing here. Something's definitely very wrong here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. What? Come on. What are you talking about? The reproach of what Christ? Moses, you're way back there. Two and a half thousand years. Are you talking Christ? What do you know about Christ? No, I see beyond here. I see a city. I see a Messiah. He's in Pharaoh's house and he's seen visions. way beyond what the natural minds around him are seeing. Child of God, let me tell you something. We've got to see beyond the natural. Yeah, we've got to see beyond the natural. Because if you are just seeing the natural, you're just seeing your natural environment. You're seeing your circumstances. You've got to see beyond. Beyond. There's something. You know, people might look at me and say, Pastor, you must be crazy. It's not. It's too late. I have seen. I have seen the masses. I have seen the thousands. I have seen the millions. I have seen. Many times when I talk to the Lord, I said, God, I didn't make divisions up. You showed it to me. I didn't dream the dreams by myself. I didn't have the open visions by myself. It's you. So you said, so when the Lord comes to me, and I think about 15 years ago, maybe less, and says to me, son, if you want to go somewhere else, I will bless you. If you want to leave Winnipeg, anywhere you want to go, just go. I will bless you. I said, no, sir. Why don't you want to go? I said, because what you said, I have not seen the manifestation of it yet. So I'm not going anywhere until I see it. I believe you. You said you're going to do this. I'm here. Let's go. That ability did not come from me. Because in the natural, I'll be the first one to take off like a speeding bullet. Let's go. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you. Yay, glory to God. Yeah, come, Los Angeles. Yeah, come. I'll find some nice, warm, nice place. Bless me here, Lord. Prosper me here. I'll find. Oh, no. Especially when it's minus 50 here in Winnipeg. Tell me, ask me that question that day. That's when you should ask me that question. I'll tell you right away. I'll tell you where I want to go right away. But the reality is this. When you know what God said, that's it. That settles it. That settles it. There's nothing else to do but to believe that God will do what he said he's going to do. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that was coming. Why would he do otherwise? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's where you need to be looking. And that invisible realm is not a realm that natural-minded people see into. You can't see into that realm with your natural mind. You see into that realm by the Spirit of God. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now that's faith. That's faith. Rahab hung a red cord off of your window. And the Bible says Rahab's house was on the wall. Huh? Her house was on the wall. And what does God do? After they marched around, one day, second day, third day, and on the seventh day, seven times, and the trumpet blew, and they shouted, and the walls collapsed. Rahab's house was still standing. It was the only segment that did not collapse. Why? She was in faith. She was a harlot that stayed in faith because she believed that God is. Let me say something to you. I don't know what our world is going to look like 10, 20, 30 years from now. I really don't. But what I do know is this, that as believers, we have to have something settled. Hear me, everyone listening right now. You have to have this settled, that your source and your provision is not in the cash that you have in your pocket. Because there's going to come a day that your cash cannot buy you anything. Not a thing. Your money will not be able to pay your electricity bill, pay for your water bill, gas up your car, put food on your table. Because for you to do any of that, you have to bow down to the spirit of the Antichrist and carry a mark. And while I'm talking about this now, there are believers, preachers, who've already started preaching. I heard it 20 years ago. Take the mark. Take the mark of the beast. Take it, they said. And they are preaching it now. Take the mark. If the government says to you, come and worship and bow down to the beast, then you refuse. But take the mark so you can purchase whatever it is you need to purchase. That's a big fat lie, because the Bible doesn't say anything about when they ask you to come worship. You say, if anybody that takes the mark, you're doomed for eternity. There's no reprieve. So what are you going to do? If you're here, what are you going to do? You're going to have to believe that God is a multiplier, that God increases your little. It's in the Bible. Five loaves and two fishes fed the multitude. The woman with the oil and the flour fed her family. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So we have historical data that God multiplied food. We have historical data in the scriptures that there was a cloud by day and a pillar by night. We have the data. It's there in the scriptures. So God can cool my house, and God can light up my house. Actually, he says, you are the light. He that follows God shall not stumble. This is where the rubber meets the road. You got to believe God. I remember many years ago, an experience I had at Rock Lake. I've told you this story many times. The Lord said, let's go on a walk. And I went on a walk, and I covered this distance in maybe about 10 minutes. That should have taken me about 30 plus minutes. And I said, how did this happen? He said, I took you real slow. I said, what? He said, I took you really slow. He says, my people have to move in this dimension because the day is going to come when they're going to try to arrest you, and you have to be moving at that pace that they try to grab, and all they grab is air, but they can't see you there. Or I can move you from here to there. Anywhere I need to move you to, by resurrection life operating. Jesus did not need a donkey, and he did not need a space shuttle when he was going to heaven. He just stepped on the cloud, and off he went. Come on. That's the same Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is Lord over our lives. Your labor in him shall not be in vain. We've got to begin to believe and see into that realm. Because if you don't see into that realm, I tell you, you're going to say, give me the mark already. Give it to me. Give it to me. Now. No mark. So what if you believe in that? And your food is finished, and your water is finished, and everything is finished, and there seems to be no miracle coming. What then? Die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Die. Living and ending up in an eternity without God is unacceptable. Die. Die. Die steadfast. The Bible says they died and did not see what they were looking for, but they believed something. These all died, verse 13 says, in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned to the country that they are mindful of. No, I've taken my mind out of this plane. My mind is on the other plane. If you and I are worldly minded, earthly minded, we cannot stay steadfast. You got to have a heavenly perspective, the perspective of God. Say, God, you are. You is. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. Then we begin to wrap up. He says in verse 31, what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David, also Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weaknesses, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Amen? Listen to that. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. In other words, being poor, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They went through all of that, did not receive the what? Promise. God having provided some better thing for us. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let me not even go into that verse now, because if I go into that verse, that last verse, I'm going to keep you here for another hour. So I'm going to leave that verse alone. But let me wrap up with this particular verse in Proverbs 22 and 29. Proverbs 22:29 makes a very striking statement. He says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" And the Lord said, "I am about my father's business." Seest a man diligent in his business, the business that God has called him to, who is quick? I believe that Hebrew word is mahar. It means to be quick, fast, and skillful. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That's a promise of God. When we're diligent in his business, he says, you're not going to stand before mean men, you're going to stand before kings. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us be encouraged today in recognizing that the God we serve is faithful. That he is, that he is faithful, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and not play games. Because when you start playing games, you compromise yourself. You and I need to be faithful to the end. We need to start the race and complete it. Amen? And it starts out by, first of all, settling this. God is. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Therefore, I must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as I know this, that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we cannot do any of this without you. We cannot be steadfast without you. We cannot continue without you. Pain can cause us to change our minds. But somehow, Lord, we ask, oh God, that the vision of who you are so take over every aspect of our person that that reality becomes more real than this natural reality. So, Lord, oh God, that the premium commitment that causes us to be totally sold out to your divine purposes, to your divine will, so supersedes anything in the natural that we reject the natural realm and cleave to the supernatural. Lord, only you can help us with this. We cry out to you as we say this day, Father, become more real to me, become more real to us than this natural world. For without that, we cannot be steadfast. We need your help. We receive this grace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his faithfulness. I trust that something that was said today spoke to your spirit and that you and I continue steadfastly pursuing the heart of God. It's not a non-challenging situation, but we become faithful in spite of it. Amen? Praise God. I bless you, those listening online. I pray that God will continue to encourage you and strengthen you. We look forward to sharing the Word of God with you again this Wednesday, when it will be our next time of sharing together and streaming. And of course, next Friday, we will be here for our prayer time. And then next Sunday, morning and evening, we'll also be here. If you have not downloaded the Glory and Peace app, download it so that way you can continue hearing the words that God has given to us so that your heart is continually encouraged. We encourage you to honor God with your giving. It doesn't matter where you are in the world listening at this time. Somehow, somewhere, find a way to support this work so that we can continue preaching this gospel of the kingdom fervently and faithfully, impacting lives locally and globally. Be strengthened in the Lord. May God be your peace. And remember, you are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. In every area of your life, receive total wholeness. Good night. We love you. And we thank God for everyone here and those listening online. Good night. God bless.